Welcome to TKO, also known as
Trending with Keisha Nori.
If it's trending, we're talking about it.
So everybody, welcome back to the TKO podcast. I'm Ori, that's Keith. What's going on, Keith?
Nothing, Ori. What's up?
Man, talking Sixers. We talking Sixers. There you go. There you go.
Let me just say, only reason I'm wearing this hat, because it seems like they got some thinkers around there this season. Right? So only reason I didn't go all full gear yet. Right now, we starting with the brains, so I had to put the hat on. But yeah, we did a couple episodes about the Sixers earlier this year, right? Got a little busy, but
yeah, we apologize, y'all. We got a little busy. We did record stuff. So what we're gonna do is we wanna give you our thoughts about what happened at the end of the season, leading up to the coaching changes, and then after we do this, we'll come back and we're gonna give our thoughts on the new GM, new coach, and the draft. All right. Everybody, check this out.
Ori, are the Sixers, Embiid, Tobias Harris. Ooh, shaking my head. That's Ori. This is me. This is my emoji.
Why you gotta have that?
Cause it's like, what do you expect? What do you expect? The most consistent thing about the Sixers is their coach is who? Who's their coach, Ori? Who the coach?
Brett Brown.
So here's, and you're going to call me, you know, when we be talking and stuff, you be saying slick stuff like, oh, I'm going to get my wish. This is not my wish, bro.
It's not my wish.
This is facts.
No.
This is me looking at the facts and making a decision. Did I not say when this bubble started, right? They gonna go in the bubble. Everybody, they got the best chance to win in the East, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid is not built to carry a team. Now, is Simmons being hurt unexpected? Yes. And what I said was Embiid was gonna go in there and get hurt so he didn't have to live up to his standard, to his potential, because he can't carry that pressure. No, but see, this is what happened. Simmons got hurt, so now the pressure is on him. He didn't bring it on himself, but it's on him. And the fact that he can't show up in the third and fourth quarter shows he's not built. I'm not going to blame it on his conditioning. Hold on, let me finish. I'm not going to blame it on his conditioning, although he do be breathing hard, and he's still flopping, trying to get easy fouls instead of just playing the game. Even he had to admit the team doesn't know how to make adjustments. What did you see? What did you see that was different?
Well, that's a loaded question because, as usual, Brett Brown had to coach another team. Brett Brown, through his tenure, no matter what you say about it, no matter how you feel, don't give me that face. Don't give me that. I'm giving you facts. You like facts. I come with facts. You know that. Don't. Listen, again, Brett Brown had to coach a different team. Losing Simmons was huge. And to all you Ben Simmons, get rid of him. All you hating ass. Yeah, I said ass. All you hating ass people. You understand how important Ben Simmons was, how important his defense is. We needed a defensive stop. Jason Tatum was not going to drop 30 against us with Ben Simmons in that game. What's going to happen?
Simmons is important, but if you focus on him not playing, you're not looking at the bigger picture. The Sixers are supposed to be deep enough for that to not matter that much.
No. It's playoffs.
They're not getting blown out. They're not getting blown out. These are fourth quarter losses, bro. He's a fourth-quarter loss. That's coaching. So if Tobias Harris, if Richardson, if Shake Milton, if what is Burks? What's his name?
If
Embiid, who is the most dominant player on the court between these two teams, there's nobody. There's nobody on Boston. Who on Boston can play him one-on-one?
Of course, but they do the double team. So Embiid,
most dominant player on the team. If at this point in his career, he's no longer young, he's no longer not conditioned, he's no longer immature, according to Brett Brown, he's a mature leader. Oh, however, that was kind of Russian, but I was going for the Boston accent. But he's this mature leader, the superstar everybody claims him to be, which I have not been sold on. He's very talented. If he was the superstar that everybody claims him to be, he would have finished game one and game three. Game two. Game two, they all game. He needs to step up and pull them.
Dude, Keisha, hold on. Wait.
First loss was 101 and 109.
No.
He can't make up that difference?
No. Listen, game one, they did not give him the ball. He had two touches in that fourth quarter. He went off in the first quarter, was killing him. Obviously, Stevens made some adjustments. And then you had to get the others involved. So the others were involved. Boston made their run. The Sixers made their run. When it came to fourth quarter, he was calling for the ball. Give it to me here. They were swinging the ball around, everybody trying to get involved. They didn't give it to me. One, it's like, all right, then go ahead, because I am going to need you.
Do you think that would slide with LeBron? Do you think that would slide with Michael Jordan? Do you think that would slide with Kawhi Leonard? Do you think that would slide with Giannis? If I'm the guy, do you think would slide with Dame? If I'm the guy in the fourth quarter, you not giving me the ball, calling a timeout and somebody coming out the game.
No, that's not true. Let's look at Dame. The clincher game against With Dame, the clincher game against Memphis, CJ McCollum was taking all the shots. So he trusted his guy. CJ McCollum
Making the shots?
He made the shots. That's why they won that game.
Okay.
They didn't.
Okay.
So, Jordan trusted Scottie. In fact, Jordan trusted the others. John Paxson, Steve.
You proving my point. Even though Embiid is the most dominant player on the court, his team doesn't respect him enough as a leader, as the guy, to give him the ball in the fourth quarter.
No, that's not what it is. No.
What was it? They didn't see him?
That's not respect. They don't say they don't respect
him. They didn't see him?
No.
They didn't see him.
No. I think they felt like they wanted to do more. Now without Ben, they like, okay, I got to step up. I got a shot.
How many points did he have in the first quarter?
He had 15, I think.
Right. So that's who determines who's the guy for the game.
Well, first of all, Embiid played.
All teams. Who got the high hand? That's who you get a ball to.
No, first of all, Embiid did his job. Like, Embiid is not. If you're going to have a list.
Embiid didn't do his job.
Like, yeah. He scored 30 in every game. He did.
So
his
what?
Job.
They're not winning. No. If they're not winning, he didn't do his job.
No. You're talking about who didn't do their job, Keisha. It's like Tobias Harris. He didn't do his job.
Or when everybody not doing their job, the star, the guy, the leader has to score 40, 50 points.
Keisha, come on now. We're not.
Period.
Keisha, come on. We're not going to play that game.
If my argument's not flying with you, sir, I want you to tell me and the people. Tell me and all the people who think the problem is Brett Brown, his lack of leadership, his inability to make adjustments, his inability to coach in the fourth quarter out of a competitive situation. They can't beat Boston, apparently. Everybody else can, but they can't. With the most dominant player on the court. Nobody on the team to match up with him. You, Sir Ori, Sixers ambassador. Oh, great one. You tell me why the Sixers are down three games in this series. Okay. And I'm going to listen.
Okay. All right. Here we go. First of all, obvious that losing Ben Simmons was huge. Listen. You need stars to win. You do. You need at least two, three. So they were already going to have an uphill battle. And that's fine. You know, a lot of times you don't want to chip to your sixth, seventh year anyway. So they're right on course. You know what I mean? So, and it's a lot. I know it's a lot of the talent that's a lot of young talent that's coming up. You got Luka, you know, you got Giannis, whatever. Anthony Davis, you know. So the Sixers are still relevant. This is not a thing we need to implode or blow it up and just get rid of both of them and go back to the crappy years. And the Sixers fans, we got a lot of nerve. They talking about, don't you remember the process days, how we stunk for all those years, or how we always the seventh and eighth seed and we were crying about that? We're always crying. We're always upset about something. We're never happy. Why don't we just be happy? I want to be happy, Keisha.
Listen.
Stop complaining.
Listen. This is not a complaint. It's facts. Brett Brown has taken them as far as he can go.
I agree.
He was hired to coach during the process, which means he was hired to coach losers, which means he developed a losing mentality.
No.
At some point, you have to move away from that. You need veteran leadership. You need a true point guard. You need a shooter. You need a six man. And you need a center with heart. And once we get all those things and allow Ben Simmons to be great in whatever minute way he's going to be great as an off-the-ball player who can't shoot, then we will be relevant. Until then, we are still in this, excuse my language, shitty process. The process is terrible, okay? And the bubble, just as 2020 has exposed a lot of ugliness, not just in this world, but in the Sixers locker room.
Well, Keisha, speaking of the bubble, I'll go. Were you finished?
Oh, that was it. That was good.
Oh, that's, you know, that is not right. Obviously, the Sixers got swept. Keisha's happy, everybody. Look at the smile.
He continuously mischaracterizes how I feel. So if we're gonna talk about feelings, please take note of the sadness in Ori's voice. He's been denying he's been sad since they got swept. But all of that could have been avoided if he would have listened to me from the beginning of the season, the middle of the season, the disruption of the season, going into the bubble after game three. I'm not a soothsayer. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a psychic. I'm not Cleo. But I know things, okay? And had Ori listened to me, he wouldn't be sitting here so sad right now.
As you just heard,
this was inevitable. It was coming. It was in the card since, what, they hired Brett Brown 7 years ago?
No.
He took him as far as he was going to get him, or he took him as far as he
okay.
was
going. Okay, I'll give you that.
And this is I'll place my hat on this, and then I'll let it go. You cannot hire any coach worth their salt and say, we're going to set you up to lose. They accept it, are successful at losing, and then expect them to be able to maintain and develop and sustain a winning mentality. He took them as far as he could go. He did his job. He was hired to lose. That's what they did. Congratulations, Brett Brown. Job well done. See you later. I'm sad about it. I don't know why Ori can't admit it. Why you can't admit it, Ori?
You know what? First of all, you're right. Brett Brown did his job. You know, his job was to develop the talent. And that's what he did. Look at all the players, the TJ McConnells, the Robert Covingtons, Nerlens Noel, all those players.
The ones he developed but couldn't coach.
Somehow they are NBA players. He was tasked, even through this, even now, first of all, you can't blame him. Blame us at Sixers fan. Hold on, wait.
You and people like you who drunk their process.
Okay. Were you not one of those people who got tired of being a seventh seed every year? You were those. Did you like Iggy, the Iggy teams? No. There were a whole bunch of Sixers fans complaining. I'm tired of being a seventh seed. That's the only way you can win. So
I realized there was an issue with the Sixers front and back office when they let go of Iverson so soon. He should have retired a Sixer.
Okay, now you're going way back.
That's when I was done with him, and they haven't pulled me back yet.
Yep, so again, I'm going to say it again. Like I said in the other podcast, I'm going to say it again. Keisha, you got your wish. First wish. You got your wish.
Every time.
Hey, you got your wish. You were right. Hey, Keisha, guess what? Listen to me. Watch this. You were right.
Listen, I'm used to hearing that.
Oh, okay? Get out of here, man.
Happy wife, happy life. I hear that a lot. You're right. I know. And you mischaracterized my feelings, Ori, by saying I got my wish. I was just stating facts.
Fact is,
that bubble burst, Ori. Literally and figuratively, that bubble had to burst. Yep. It just wasn't going nowhere, bro. And as you see what happened. You know, there's no way we were getting out the first round, but I didn't want to hurt your heart. You know, you got a lot to deal with being a Philly sports fan. So I was trying to be as kind as possible because people be watching the show and be like, yo, you so negative. You come down hard on your boy. I was like, listen, I'll just be trying to bring him back to reality. But if you want to look at the moves they made since, what's all the hype in Daryl Morey?
So
touch on that for us, Ori.
Yeah. So Daryl Morey, obviously, one of the great execs let me take that one down with my face. All right. Daryl Morey, one of the great execs from the Houston Rockets. I mean, this guy, Keisha, is one of the best in the NBA. He was an executive of the year several years back. He helped elevate Houston. He got James Harden to come there. Although they got very close, they got to the seventh game of the Western Conference Final a couple of years ago with a healthy Golden State. And James Harden, Chris Paul got hurt, missed game seven. And unfortunately, James Harden had it in just a game that would never happen. He missed like every three-pointer. I think he shot like 1 for 24. But they were up 3-2, and they were this close away from winning championship. So Daryl Morey definitely has the experience. He was with Boston. He was one of the big reasons why Boston got back to relevance and
so what is it? Potential. He has player vision. He can put a team together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keith. So we got prime time. And on top of that, I love the fact that they're going to keep Elton Brand. You know, Elton Brand, obviously Duke. You had to make a change from the Hinkie Colangelo, Elton Brand. And now Elton Brand has a guy that is certified, well-known, respected around the league, and he's going to probably help. Him and Elton Brand are going to work together. And, like, Keisha, we got top-of-the-line GM. I mean, this is grade A. This is like...
So you saying he rivals Pat Riley as far as player vision?
Well, he does
have success. As far as team building?
Team building, yes, success. Like, the hardware just hasn't come yet. And then...
Well, sometimes success takes money.
Yeah,
but it takes more vision to do that when you don't have the dollars. So we can see, you know, if you're looking at what he's done so far is, you know, bringing in Danny Green from the championed L.A. Lakers.
Oh, Lord.
You bring that veteran leadership that I feel that. What are you shaking your head? One thing I've always called for on that floor was leadership. Oh yeah, I'm not talking about the Lakers, but he got, you know, he has that champion pedigree, not just with the Lakers, but also with the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes.
So he's an amazing role player. He does his job, except that was it game 5 or 6 when he missed that wide open three pointer.
And they ran him out of town. For that
though. They ran him out of town.
They're not even here.
But I think having those championships under his belt will give he'll be able to command respect from players like Embiid and Simmons. And hopefully he'll be a voice. He'll be some sort of leadership on the court. And then, you know,
right.
Doc, you know, he always got work with a family member. So he brought along his son-in-law.
And he got a good one.
Who can you boss around better than an in-law? So he got the in-law coming. Seth, not Steph. Calm down, everybody. Seth Curry. Even though Seth played with Duke and he was supposed to be better than his brother, but you know, life happens. But means- in those two guys, you have shooters. Yeah. You have guys who can score. You would like to see a little bit more consistency, and maybe being on the Sixers, they'll play a little bit more, so they'll get a better chance to get into their rhythms, because they can be the number 2, 3, 4 guy on the team. Bringing in all the guards, I definitely feel like they're trying to get Ben Simmons off the ball, which is one of the best decisions the team can make. He needs to be off the ball. I think he'll be more impactful. And then, you know, they got that shooting guard in, was it in Massey? I don't want to the guard from Kentucky, yeah, who we just drafted.
Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, he has a he's a strong guard. Mm-hmm. He apparently he's explosive, but has a little bit of growing up to do. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's good talk about him on social media, so people are looking forward to his development. And like I said, bringing in all those guards, bringing in a couple shooters, having veteran leadership. You got two guys who can confidently shoot the three. So maybe that'll make Embiid want to do his actual job, which is to be in the paint and not trying to save a team by shooting those last minute threes or whatever. So hopefully some good things. I think they still need to make a little more moves, a couple more moves, mm-hmm, and I feel more confident about it. And then you just got to see if Doc can bring it all together. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time I've seen some decent movement. I'm not going to say I'm excited about it, but they're making moves that make sense. Mm-hmm. And you know, with the new city jerseys, where it has the TTP, I think people, you know, with the Bolt House Row silhouette, you know, they're saying trust the process. I think that's trash the process. I think that's what that is. Trash the process. We on the bigger and better things, people, because that trust the process. If you trusted that, your heart was broken many, many times.
Well, all it did was trusted that at some point you're going to win a championship. So that's,
you know, we're not going to live in the past. We're not going to live in the past, Ori.
No,
we're not going to live in the past.
That's forward thinking.
Yes, trash the process is forward thinking. Now, if we could just get a new song for them to come in on,
absolutely not. No, no.
I have on my Sixers hoodie, my blue and gray Tims, my Sixers sweatpants. I'll go to a game and even pay for a lower tier seat.
Well, ain't nobody going to no games anytime soon.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Give them a little some time to, you know, you could see that disappointment from a distance while they figure it all out.
I could not be any happier right now as a Sixer fan, because I always felt good. I mean, I knew that
some things that would make you a little happier, but they're on the right track.
On the right track. I mean, you got a top flight GM, you got a top flight coach, and on top of this, this is one thing I really like about it, is that although they don't have any hardware per se, Doc Rivers does. Doc Rivers has a chip with the Boston Celtics. So they have hardware and close to hardware, but there's this energy to still do more. You know what I mean? They're not going to just rest on their laurels. You know what I mean? Like, and now we can recruit, you know, free agents to come here. First of all, Philly's big time market, top four market. You know what I mean? Like, it's a real sports town. You know, we get hyped for that. So people want to play in a real sports town. It's an opportunity to, again, well, we're still relevant. Sixers, you know, have always been relevant. It's an opportunity to possibly get some other players to come here. So here's a rumor. I don't know if you've been hearing about this. Free agency, as of taping of this show today, November 20th, free agency starts today. Rumor is, Keisha, that Nerlens Noel could come back, which is great. A player that the Sixers developed, a player that the Sixers drafted. No, they need that. Well, so he would come
off. He was part of the process. We don't need nothing that was part of the process.
Have you seen him? But look, Keisha, remember, I think we had episodes before we talked about the players that left here and they played for other teams that did very well. He did very well at Oklahoma City, as well as Grant, Jeremy Grant, very well at Oklahoma City. So a lot of these players that left here were young. They got to play, and now they are, you know, prime time, good, solid NBA players.
Solid. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot they can do in free agency, now whether or not they have the money or I don't want to say brains because that's just disrespectful. I don't want to say heart because that's disrespectful. Whether or not they have the money or the good decision-making ability to bring in the pieces that could actually get us to a chip. Because Warriors, not just about us, right? Last year, we were supposed to be number one team in the finals against the Lakers or the Clippers, right? No, that was the projection. That was the projection. That was the projection. That was the projection. We can argue about that at another time. I'm tired of arguing with you, Warrior, okay? So... my point is,
I want to say Milwaukee was number one, but okay, that's all I was gonna say.
You can debate that, okay. But okay, it was a toss up depending on who you talk to.
Okay,
but a lot of y'all thought it was us. I'm not gonna say who.
Absolutely,
I'm not. They were. I'm not gonna say who thought it was us, but a lot of y'all did think that. but now you gotta look at the East is now becoming. You looking at? You gotta look at what Milwaukee's doing with
Brooklyn.
You got to look at what Brooklyn's doing, trying to get Harden. Milwaukee just got Jrue Holiday. So, now, you know, so with him and Middleton and Giannis, you know, they're looking at them as the another big three. And there are a lot of decent players in the West who are now flocking to the East because they don't want to have to go through LeBron to get to the finals. So now, you know, so there's a lot of good players trying to make their way back to the East. So the Sixers just can't be about what makes us a better team. If the goal is to get that hardware, like you keep saying, which I don't know that it necessarily is, but if that is the goal, they're going to have to make a couple more bold decisions because, you know, Danny Green and Seth Curry are good additions, but you need one more player to make Simmons and Embiid a legitimate big three.
Yeah, you would hope that Tobias Harris can be that because he did his best under Doc Rivers. No, I'm just saying what Tobias did under Doc Rivers. So I said you're hoping. That's all I'm saying. You're hoping,
and that's the saving grace. Doc Rivers is the saving grace because respected players, great players, would play for him. Yeah. They would not play for Brett Brown. So that's kind of a benefit that we have now is that players are willing to play for and listen to and be led by and trust and respect a head coach such as Doc Rivers, which those are the elements I think we're missing in the Brett Brown locker room.
See how she is, y'all. She couldn't even it.
But I don't live in the past, though. I don't live in the past.
Oh, except when Brett Brown's name is mentioned.
Just saying.
All right, y'all. I mean, you know. Yeah.
You know I'm right. I'm right.
I already said you're right. I said from the top of the... you were right. So
you did. You're right. You did.
I think that's a good way to end this podcast. We're going to end it with you being right. How about that? So the first time in history, y'all took how many for her to be right?
We end every episode with me being right. So we're going to end this episode like we end every episode. I'm right. He's wrong. When you like the show, wherever you can listen or see it, check out our YouTube channel. Don't be so hard on Ori. He's just an eternal optimist, okay? Let me bring him back to reality and y'all just be supportive, okay? Thank you and goodbye.